Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, follow me on Twitter at Brian Lehrer. Like me on Facebook at Brian Lehrer WNYC. And did you know that New York City is the place where George Washington officially began the revolution and that it's the place where it officially ended? And are you aware that the general was sworn in as president on Wall Street? And when our first government was founded, this was the nation's capital. My next guest, Robert Sullivan, thinks states like Virginia and Massachusetts unfairly get all the historical glory of the War for Independence, when in reality, most of the action happened in what are called the middle states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. He's talking to you. Robert Sullivan is author of My American Revolution, Crossing the Delaware and I-78. You may have also read his work in the New York in the New Yorker, New York Magazine, and elsewhere. Welcome back to WNYC, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
You describe seeing the New York, New Jersey landscape from the top of the Empire State Building one time and imagining the history that took place in the rivers and the forests visible from that high perch. Could you take us up there for a moment and describe what you saw and what you thought about?
And this is a perfect day to do it. It's so clear and beautiful, and the fall has you thinking of the past and your history, your own history. But yeah, so I can see all the way down on a really good day. I can almost see to Princeton. I can see the hills that lead to Princeton, New Jersey, which is around where you would have crossed the Delaware to come over and win your first two battles after and come back to New York. I can see the north. I can see the Pelham Bay Park. I can see where a bunch of guys from Massachusetts held back the whole British army as they invaded. First, they accidentally invaded at Throg's Neck. I can see that. And that was a big mistake because it was a bad tidal situation. The British made a big mistake. I can see over to Queens and to Newtown Creek where the British fleet assembled again after assembling off the Narrows. And I guess I'll say lastly, I can see the Watchung Mountains, the great unknown mountain range of New Jersey that was the key to the whole war.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for your call. So if there's a Revolutionary War site in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut that you've ever visited or have a question about, if you went camping ever in the Watchungs, that's not good enough. You have to have actually visited a Revolutionary War site.
It's probably illegal, too. So,
well, there's a nice park up there. My guest is Robert Sullivan, and he's been retracing Revolutionary War history in the five boroughs and in New Jersey. 212-433-WNYC for any of your sites that you visited or have a question about. 212-433-9692. And I'm sure people are wondering when they hear the title, My American Revolution, Crossing the Delaware and I-78. Okay, I know Crossing the Delaware refers to Washington's famous boat trip, but I-78?
I think I nearly busted my back. In fact, I did bust my back out. When I tried to hike the three-day kind of – well, they did it in about 3 days, 30-something miles trip from after they crossed the Delaware. They had a couple of decent battles in Trenton. They did very well. In Princeton, the Continental Army did. And I thought, geez, nobody ever talks about it, but they hiked from there up back into the New York area, and they, again, went to the Watchung Mountains in Morristown, New Jersey, sometimes called long ago the Revolutionary Capital of America. And I thought, wow, what was that like? What was that like? And so this whole idea of going back to a place in the season, in the moment that they did, and kind of looking at the stars and the sky and seeing what you can see. So the American Revolution is also the revolution of the year.
And Morristown is the Tea Party capital of New Jersey, but we will leave that for another
discussion. Well, that's
interesting.
Well, yeah. Well, there were tea parties. John Reed had a tea party on top of Washington Square Arch, or rather John Sloan did with Duchamp and a bunch of editors from the masses. So there's a whole history of tea parties all happening at different kind of port cities. There was one in Greenwich, New Jersey. I hope we're going to get a call from Greenwich, New Jersey. It was a tea party there. And you know, really that's about – but so yeah, there's the layers of tea party history, and this is all about layers of history.
When people call from there, they just say, John from Greenwich, so we think they're in Connecticut.
That's right.
Bob in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. The most extraordinary site on the corner of 51st Street and 1st Avenue, there's an ordinary bronze plaque on a building on the northwest corner, and it simply states that this was the site of Mount Pleasant, the Beekman Mansion, Beekman's you know, Beekman Place is nearby. The site of the Beekman Mansion during the Revolutionary War. It was the head of the. It was the headquarters of the British, and it was here that Nathan Hale was imprisoned, and he was hung in the orchard nearby.
51st and First.
And
you know about that one?
And there's a couple of Nathan Hale sites. There's, I think, two plaques in the city. One there, and I'm trying to remember where the other one is. It's not that far away. That is another alleged Nathan Hale burial site. Hanging site.
I've got a note about it right here. It's we think it's at the Gap on 66th and 3rd.
Formerly the Banana Republic.
Or inside Grand Central Terminal.
Yes. And then there's the statue down at City Hall Park, which is interesting because it's been turned around. It used to be that the City Hall Park was the Great Commons of New York. That's where Washington had the Declaration read to the troops. But now, of course, it's limited to us. It is not common to us anymore. And so they've turned Nathan Hale's statue to face City Hall. Will they turn it the other way? And then there's all kinds of questions of what he said and whether he said it. But I think a big thing to know about
him. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country.
Which is a quote from a play by a guy named Addison. And all the revolutionary guys are quoting that play, especially after when Washington moves to New York and loves the theater. Loves the theater.
By the way, our producers were disappointed that your book didn't include a map to see just how concentrated revolutionary history is in our area. So we were pleased to see that New York Magazine created one using your suggestions, and we've posted that on our website. So folks, if you want to go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show, you can see that map of Revolutionary War sites in our area, inspired by my guest book, My American Revolution.
I'm glad they were disappointed. I mean, I'm always disappointed in my budget. I put my money into thermal sleeping pads when I was doing the Continental Trek, and you know, some camping equipment.
Rachel in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
I am standing at the obelisk at Paulus Hook, which, according to the plaque here, says it was Washington's flying camp in 1776. But later held by the British.
You should see Bob's face. He is beside himself with historical glee.
Well, Paulus Hook is so exciting. Wait, it says flying camp?
Yeah, this is Paulus Hook. It's right behind the sort of kitty corner from the Goldman Sachs building in Jersey City.
Oh, yeah, and it was all marsh.
Yeah,
and it was all marsh, and that was one of the last places. There was a little fort there that the Continental Army built, that the Americans built. There were forts all up and down both sides of the river, but they were kind of abandoned at the last minute. And and Paulus Hook is fascinating because, you know, it was all marsh up until very recently. Those towers only sprouted up recently. And you know, it's another one of those things where if you go down to the Battery and you look out at the harbor and you look towards Toad Hill and towards Jersey City, if you block out a couple key things like those buildings and maybe some other, you know, modern shipping stuff in Elizabeth, you can see the same vista.
By the way, Rachel, if you tweet us a picture right now.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Of Paulus Hook as you're standing there looking at it. If you happen to have a camera and Twitter account, tweet it at Brian Lehrer. We'll retweet it so our listeners can see what you're talking about.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much. Guy in Morristown, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. It's nice to hear your story about this. We were up on top of Fort Nonsense right in Morristown Sunday night. And we could see where the beacon was built that would be seen from Summit. And we could see the top of the hill in Summit lit up by the hospital or something where the Summit beacon was.
And I'm going to leave it there, Guy. That's great. Fort Nonsense.
To talk about that today on September 11th is really interesting to me. Fort Nonsense, something I tried to do in this book was I tried to take apart the idea of a reenactment. But at the end, I thought, well, you should do a reenactment of your own. How do you do a reenactment with a landscape? So these beacons that were up, that were built on all the hills in our area, in the Watchungs and in Fort Nonsense, these were giant beacons that were lit, set on fire. The Continental and the militias would light them to let people know the British were moving. Now, the thing is, if you go to each one of those sites today, you can see that where Washington had the beacon, and then in the 1950s, they became Soviet missile sites that were made to shoot down Soviet bombers. And then lastly, they all became, almost to a number, 9/11 memorials. So that people went to look back at the city, to look back at the panorama of the city, at their own history. So it's an amazing resonance, and places mean so much to us.
And so today, on September 11th, most people's sense of remembrance is on a day just 11 years ago, and their thoughts are at the World Trade Center. Have you been thinking about the way we memorialize the past through this book? Is there something crucial about remembering events at the site where they happened from the Revolutionary Era?
There's nothing crucial about what I write, sadly. But for me, it's incredibly crucial. You remember this fall day. You remember a clear sky. And, you know, what I'm really trying to do is do an almanac of the revolution, an almanac of history anywhere. How do you feel the past in the seasons? How do you think of your own life, of your father's, your founding father's life? So today, absolutely. And, you know, last week there was a man killed, I read in the Bergen Record, by lightning. But if you go back to the Revolutionary War journals, there was a man killed by lightning, a Connecticut soldier in a camp, because there's freak lightning storms around this time of the year. And so that revolution, the revolution of the sun, of the earth.
And let's acknowledge that there is a really important date, September 11th, 1776, the date when John Adams and Ben Franklin attended a last-minute and unsuccessful peace conference on Staten Island. Today, the site is home to the Conference House Park. Want to tell us about that?
And they were rowed out there, and I actually was out in a rowboat with an artist named Marie Lorenz. She made the rowboat. We rowed out into the harbor the other day, and you can absolutely feel as if you can imagine rowing over there. And so it didn't work. I think General Howe had some good feelings about the Americans. He just didn't like the bad Americans, but it didn't work. And then the other thing to remember on September 11th, and, you know, the new World Trade Center tower is going to have a beacon on top of it. Yeah. But there's another beacon that Stanford White built in Fort Greene to identify the bones buried there in the hill. 11,000 people died in the prison ships,
wow.
More people than died in the war, in the Revolutionary War.
And don't get a lot of remembrance.
None.
If you can say it in 15 seconds, didn't George Washington even coin the term Empire State himself?
Empire State. If you go to the New York Historical Society, you'll have a big, great argument with the archivists there. But one of the theories about Empire State is that he said it'll be the center of the empire. But then again, he was always selling canals. And it's a lot about canals.
Listeners, you can keep this conversation going among yourselves on our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Robert Sullivan is author of My American Revolution, Crossing the Delaware and I-78. So much fun. Thank you.
Thank you.